The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, public opinion on the Ukraine war has changed and moved dramatically from 7% to 55%. And Congressman Jim Jordan joins us to talk about the recent revelations that show the censorship regime the Biden administration has been deploying on the American people. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved at Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. For the last, 16 months, we have taken some pretty serious stances on this program. Basically, from the first day, we had an heterodox and contrarian take on the Ukraine-Russia conflict. We made, really, no mystery about our stance. We said Putin should not have invaded Russia, but Zelensky's not a good guy. And we were attacked from every possible direction. In fact, I remember producer Andrew and I were traveling east when we arrived at CPAC in Florida. And I said something on the stage of CPAC where I said, what's happening on our southern border is far more important than what's happening in Ukraine. I was called a Putin stooge because I refused to repeat the mindless incantation of the warmongers. We must support all wars all the time. You see, on this program, we have really grown accustomed to when the intel agencies, the corporations, and when the, quite honestly, evil people, the Marxists, the globalists, want us to believe something so forcefully. Now, we've been conditioned, whether it be the mRNA vaccine, masks, lockdowns, ivermectin, where did the virus come from, BLM, America's a racist country, St. George Floyd is the greatest person ever, to resist. On this program, we have developed rather effective antibodies to the virus of media narratives. We can pick it out, we notice it, and we oppose it. Great credit to Tucker Carlson, who used his cable television program to relentlessly question the media's obsession with Ukraine. Now, make no mistake, a majority of Republicans, as well as a majority of Democrats, have been unapologetic mascots for the war in Ukraine. We have now spent over $200 billion. Senate Republicans have enthusiastically sent your taxpayer dollars while our kids can't read, our borders remain wide open, our infrastructure is a joke, our economy is falling apart, we're developing a nation of renters, but we just keep on sending money abroad. I found this thing to be repulsive since the beginning. You can go all the way back in the archives. We knew what was going to happen. We knew that the intel agencies, the Department of Defense, were going to just send American taxpayer dollars overseas to another no-win war. How do we know that? We know that because we study history, and I lived through Iraq. I lived through Afghanistan. And I used to believe this trash. I used to believe in the neocon promise. Just one more war. One more surge, one more allocation of money, and that is what is going to make the Iraqis believe in the promise of Thomas Jefferson. It's trash. It's baseless. And the same mindset is now being used with Ukraine. Now, we're going to go through this and talk about how American public opinion has positively moved. And this program deserves a lot of credit. We have been unapologetic in questioning the money to Ukraine. We've asked questions on this program. Why do we hate Russia? And we never get a good answer. Ever. I'm not saying we have to like them, but why do we hate them? Why are they an enemy of the United States? And so for the last 18 months, America has now sent $200 billion to this conflict in Ukraine. Money is one thing, but the amount of people that have unnecessarily died in this war is tragic. I believe that the numbers are far greater than what they're reporting. This war was so unnecessary. Russia did not attack out of nowhere. Russia repeatedly was asking us to negotiate over the Ukraine question. They didn't send an ultimatum. They asked to negotiate. Their requests were not insane. They didn't demand massive new territorial gains. They wanted a promise that Ukraine would not join NATO. By the way, that's a completely reasonable request. The media is going to lose their mind that I'm saying that. It is a completely reasonable request on behalf of the Kremlin to not want to border a NATO country. They wanted to know that there would not be weapons right on the border. And by the way, this example was used by Cornel West. It's been used by Oliver Stone. It's been used by this program. If Mexico was building up military installations with our greatest enemies, we would have a problem with that. And yet, and by the way, we'd probably invade. Well, I don't know. It's interesting. We actually don't really care about invasions of our own country, but our government leaders get so fired up about foreign invasions. So this all leads up to this now Ukraine counteroffensive. It was the worst kept secret in the entire world. It was broadcast for months. The hype was enormous. There was zero misdirection or mystery about where Ukraine would attack. All the reporting was that they were building up for an attack in the south to try and cut the land connection between Russia and Crimea. I could go through the geography of it, but this is not an overly sophisticated military maneuver. That's where all of Russia's toughest defenses were built up, and that's exactly where Ukraine attacked. With all the tanks and armored vehicles, we gave them and we financed them. Now, here's a little fun fact. There was a battle in World War II very similar to this. It's the Battle of Kursk in 1943. The Germans built up for months to attack the strongest parts of the Russian line. And here's what happened to the Germans. They got demolished. So what happened to Ukraine? What's happening in real time? Here's some of the headlines from the major propaganda networks the last couple months. Quote, Russians are unraveling before our eyes. This is Ukraine's D-Day. Ukraine's claims first gains, if slight, in counteroffensive. But then you slowly watch the headlines that got worse and worse. Our news networks are lying to you. They are doing the bidding of the war machine. And now we finally get a form of the truth. CNN publishes this article, Western allies receive increasingly sober updates on Ukraine's counteroffensive. This is the most difficult time of the war. The headline really undersells it. By the way, we are not getting the truth about what's happening. It is a slaughter fest. Ukrainians are getting slaughtered here. And for what? So that our war industry can turn a good profit? This is so evil. What the American government is doing here, not seeking out peace, not trying to end the conflict, but instead increase the temperature, increase the carnage, increase the slaughter. Ukraine's offensive is extremely unlikely now to make any progress. The text of the article now says that losses for Ukraine haven't been high, they've been staggering. They say that Ukrainian commanders have held units back from battle just to try and make sure that they have some forces left when it's all over. One senior Western diplomat admits that it's extremely highly unlikely that Ukraine makes any notable gains. Now think for a bit. The media has been almost 100% in the tank for Ukraine and Zelensky this entire conflict. They've trumpeted nearly every victory, and they've papered over and mitigated every setback. So for CNN to finally write an article like this, just how bad are things? The answer, it's almost certainly a total catastrophe. Our leaders egged on Ukraine into making a big offensive, and they got thousands of brave Ukrainians killed. And now Zelensky says, we blame America and Western allies for this loss. Give us more money. The good news is you, the American people, are not putting up with this. You've had enough. It might be 18 months late, but the American people are waking up, and we're going to talk about it. And then I'm going to explain the best I can how the modern war works, because it's actually not war. Unfortunately, it's a theater of slaughter and killing for backwards, upside-down, crony capitalist money laundering so our elites can get rich while soldiers needlessly die in no-win scenarios. When we started our program, we received, when the Ukraine-Russia war began, we received so many negative emails. Not so many anymore. Even the Ukraine enthusiasts, which we get an email every so often, they're a little bit watered down. They're like, yeah, this is not really going the way we wanted it to. But we stake out tough positions because we understand history. We are not owned by corporate masters. I really don't care about attack articles about being a Putin stooge. Doesn't bother me at all. Same thing with the vaccine and BLM, and I'm going to actually connect all this. When we started our program, only 7% of the American people were against sending money to Ukraine. Seven. I was one of those seven. Lived through Iraq, lived through Afghanistan. I know the degenerate activity that has infected our military and our Department of Defense. I trust our government so little when they say that we're going to go help foreign governments. I know exactly what they mean. They want to get paid. They want to have money sent overseas in a no-win war. It's the same behavior that we see domestically. If you study even a little bit about who Zelensky is, how he came to power, go talk to actual Ukrainians who have lived under Zelensky. They're not fans of his. Now, Zelensky is a CIA Western intelligence puppet, literally centrally cast. He's an actor playing a part so that Western allies can feel good about pushing back against Russian aggression, of which I will keep on repeating. Why do we hate Russia? I'm not saying we have to like Russia. Why do we hate them? Why should they be an enemy of the United States? How is that in our national interest? So 7% of Americans, when we first started our commentary on this program, said we're against aid to Ukraine. Now that number is 55%. A majority of Americans of all political stripes say this thing has gotten out of control. The Overton window has moved from 7% to 55%. And I want to encourage you. I want to thank those of you that saw this clearly early on, that saw exactly what our government was doing. Our government was lying to you the same way that the government lied about the mostly peaceful riots and domestic terrorism, Antifa and BLM, the same government that lied about the mRNA shot, that lied about masks, that lied about the Hunter Biden laptop. The media has been 100% in the tank for Zelensky. 100% in the tank. Never telling the other side of the story. And we are told there is no other side of the story. That's how you know you are living through an Operation Mockingbird created simulation. There's no other side of the story. It's binary. It's good versus evil. Zelensky is the best person ever, and Putin is the worst person ever. I want to read this from the New York Times. Quote, the first several weeks of Ukraine's long-awaited counteroffensive have not been kind to the Ukrainian troops who were trained and armed by the United States and its allies. We did this. This is one of the most immoral things our government has done in the last 90 days. And our government does a lot of stuff. Keeps our border wide open, allows kids to get raped, sex trafficked, fentanyl, opioids. Our government, in a lackluster way, trained Ukrainians that wanted to fight for their country and sent them on a suicide mission against better equipped, better trained Russian forces. Our government did that. And Republicans support it. Almost every single Republican senator, absent a few, Josh Hawley, Rand Paul, and Mike Lee, still think the Ukraine thing all in, as they would say. The Republican Party is still largely infected with neoconservative trash. This toxin that we are going to save the world from itself. Just another $200 billion. Another $300 billion. Do you understand how much money $200 billion is? That is four North Dakota GDPs. Four. Do you think that money could have been better spent on securing the southern border? Senate Republicans wouldn't be bothered about that. Do you think that money could be better spent on building charter schools for kids that can't read? Do you think that money could be better spent, I don't know, paying down our national debt or deficit? We are a debtor nation. We are $31 trillion in debt. We have just been downgraded by the rating agencies, and the priority of our Senate leadership and Senate Republicans is to go fund a no-win war, a slaughter fest, a suicide mission against better trained, better equipped Russian forces. What's really going on here? This summer, you could spend thousands of dollars on planes, hotels, and tourist traps, or you could spend less money on a beautiful garden that will give you years of pleasure with FastGrowingTrees.com. FastGrowingTrees.com has thousands of easy-to-grow plant, shrub, and tree varieties expertly curated for your unique climate needs. From Meyer lemons to evergreens to shade trees and everything in between. No more waiting in lines and hauling heavy plants around. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you order online and your plants arrive at your door in just a few days. You've got to check it out. I love FastGrowingTrees.com because I found the amazing trees I was looking for, and their plant experts help me keep it thriving. They can help you too. And with Fast Growing Trees, a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. Join almost 2 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk right now to get 15% off your entire order. 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. Joining us now is Congressman Jim Jordan, who's been on a mission to uncover the illegal, unconstitutional censorship regime that has been stifling conservative speech. Congressman, thank you for taking time. The headline is Facebook Files Part 4 shows FBI censorship liaison may have perjured himself. That's just one element here of the story. Let's start more macro, Congressman. What have you learned recently in regards to the federal government censorship regime?
No, again, Charlie, good to be with you. Thanks for all you do. In the big picture, the government was coercing, pressuring big tech to censor speech. And the folks at Facebook knew it. One of the executives even said that this is encroaching on the boundaries of free expression. But they did it because they wanted to keep a cozy relationship with the Biden administration. One of the requests was even, can you change your algorithm? This is the government, Rob Flaherty at the White House and the Biden administration. Can you change your algorithm to accentuate and highlight New York Times stories and suppress and downgrade stories from the Daily Wire, Tommy Lehrer, and other conservatives across? So
that's correct.
I mean, they come after you too, and Tucker and other folks.
Yeah. So, but
literally, the government trying to tell a private company, change your algorithm so that we can get the news that the state, that the government approves of, not news that may be contradicting or criticizing the positions of the Biden administration. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so I believe there's going to be legal challenges, including from our own show, Department of Homeland Security. We are there because the government is not allowed either by proxy or themselves to stifle the First Amendment liberties of citizens. But Congressman, this has not been an easy effort. You had to threaten a potential contempt of Congress vote of Mark Zuckerberg. Yep. Facebook has been very reluctant to hand over these files. Walk us through some of that, because it took a little bit of potential force, if you will, to actually pressure is a better word, to get them to comply.
Yeah, they wouldn't turn over the internal communications. We wanted exactly what Elon Musk made available on Twitter, or now X. the internal communications that showed the kind of pressure that was coming from the government. So we had the Twitter files because Elon Musk bought Twitter and allowed good journalists, actually Democrat mm-hmm. journalists like Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, to put that information out there, and others. And then we wanted the same thing for Facebook, and they kept stonewalling us. And finally we said, okay, if you're not going to turn it over, we're going to hold you in contempt. And then shazam, they decided to give us his documents. And Matt Taibbi himself said what we got from Facebook was even worse than what they uncovered in the Twitter files, what was going on at Twitter, the level of how we find out that it looks like Mr. Chan may have not have been completely straightforward during his deposition in the Missouri case, mm-hmm. the case that was the Missouri and Louisiana case, where he said that he had one communication with Facebook on October 14th, 2020, the day that the New York Post story came out about the Biden laptop. And it turns out he had another communication the next day. And in that communication, he talks about the fact that the FBI, that he was up to speed on the FBI investigation, and they had no evidence. This is key. No evidence that the Biden laptop story was a Russian information operation, as they allowed Twitter and Facebook to believe. And it actually kind of pre-bunked the whole idea that this story was going to come out, which I think is really significant. And frankly, that is probably the biggest election interference in the 2020 presidential race, is the idea that this story was suppressed. And then, of course, the 51 Intel officials.
I think an important component of this, Congressman, is how willing was Facebook to participate in this? Because based on everything I've seen and public reports, Facebook was almost forced by the federal government to do this, and or threatened. From what I can understand, Mark Zuckerberg received massive fury from the Democrat and Uniparty regime post-2016. In fact, most people looked at Facebook and social media companies as why we got Donald Trump. Cambridge Analytica, the algorithms. And so Zuckerberg was under this massive pressure. Yeah. You might remember he was called to testify in front of the Senate, which was a joke because half the senators were like asking him how to log into their phone. I'm half kidding. It was not exactly a tech-savvy hearing. However, Zuckerberg then received FTC lawsuits and pressures of breakup and monopoly threats and DOJ antitrust stuff. And then Mark Zuckerberg goes on Joe Rogan last August and reveals the FBI was making house visits saying, hey, by the way, there might be a Russian disinformation play, which of course was, hey, you better do what we tell you to do or else these antitrust stuff might not work out. Can you just kind of give us a little bit of a window into Facebook's mentality here?
No, I think you're right. Now, I also think that folks at Facebook there's a lot of people who lean to the left and wanted to do this, wanted to keep conservative speech and suppress conservative speech. So I think you had all that going on, but there was certainly this pressure campaign put on them. I think many of them were willing to go along with it. And we know they were willing to go along with it because they did. And they did it knowing that it was an attack on the First Amendment. Nick Clegg, one of the executives, said that. So it wasn't just like, oh, poor Facebook. They were being pressured, certainly, by the government, certainly. And but I think they were, in many ways, willing participants in making it tough for President Trump and for conservatives. Now, understand, in October of 2020, Elvis Chan had talked about this, and so had Yoel Roth at Twitter. They talked about, on a weekly basis, big tech met with the FBI and other people in the government. They were told to be on the lookout for a hack and leak operation in October that would likely involve Hunter Biden. So they prepped him for what was coming. And it's like, how did the FBI know this was going to happen? Well, of course they knew, because they had the laptop for a year prior to that. So they prepped him all along. Then when it comes public, they know it's not Russian information operation. They know it's not a Russian operation. But when they're asked directly by Twitter and by Facebook, the FBI says no comment. That is how, I mean, you talk about impacting an election.
And we will never know to the extent the aggressive language that was used by the FBI in some of these meetings with Yoel Roth. We can infer they had standing appointments. And it's important to remember, Mark Zuckerberg also out of nowhere became this like massive enthusiast for mail-in voting, $400 million for Center for Technology at Civic Life.
Yep.
So it's it's clear, and it's hard to prove, but it's clear that Zuckerberg was malleable and Facebook was malleable because they were afraid the government was going to come down with a massive sword on them. And they said, okay, how can we make this good? And somebody recommended, hey, $400 million, this nonprofit would help. you know, working with the feds on suppressing speech would help.
Yep.
And it very well could have been that Zuckboxes plus censorship was a make good for 2016. So, Congressman, are you at any place where you think that Facebook is now afraid of further censorship for the 2024 election? Because it's right around the corner. Facebook controls a significant portion of chatter, both on Facebook and Instagram. Do you think that their behavior has been corrected, or are you just getting more arrogance and trapdoors and half-truths from Facebook executives?
Well, I certainly hope that the fact that we've shown a lot, you know, put some sunlight on this and some sunshine on this, I think that's made a difference. And of course, we know that we have someone who believes in the First Amendment who now owns X, who now owns, you know, Twitter. So that's a huge step in the right direction when you talk about free expression in the public forum. So I hope it's making a difference. And we also know it's making a difference. For example, 2.5 weeks ago, the IRS announced they will no longer be sending agents out to Americans' doors unannounced. I think the only reason they made that change is because what we uncovered with them knocking on Matt Taibbi's door at the very moment he was testifying in front of our committee about this whole censorship operation. And I think we made such a big deal about that, that they changed their tune. Of course, now the FBI doesn't say that. They say, oh, we're concerned about our agent safety. Well, fine. But I think that what motivated that fundamental change there was we have brought this to America's attention. We're also working on legislation with Senator Paul that would say if you're involved in pressuring and in censoring American speech, that there will be consequences. You will lose your job. You can lose your pension. You can lose your security clearance, and you can and the citizens who've been aggrieved have a chance to bring a civil action against that individual who's limiting Americans' First Amendment free speech rights. So that's legislation we think we'll bring forward too. I think all this helps to actually get the free forum that we all thought this was supposed to be
some time ago. Right now, there's been a pause on the contempt vote. Are you at a place where you're getting what you desire from Facebook?
Oh, yeah, it continues. That's why we keep releasing these Facebook files, because we, again, want to highlight how serious it was. As I said earlier, Matt Taibbi, award-winning journalist who was part of the uncovering all the things that were going on Twitter and the Twitter files, said that what he sees here is in many ways worse than what was uncovered in the Twitter files, and we know how bad that was. So, yeah, we're getting the information, and we're just going to keep doing our jobs in Congress, our oversight obligation.
Thank you so much.
You bet, Charlie. You too. Take care.
Thank you. Unraveling the censorship regime is one of the most important things happening right now. And my fear is that it's actively happening. This is, I try to remind people that we looking back is instructive, but we must understand that it's currently happening as well. You look at the main issues, BLM and the race lies, vaccine and COVID and lockdowns, Ukraine. Those are kind of the three big propaganda narratives. 1, 2, 3. COVID, race, war. Really, if you look at it, healthcare and scientism, race politics, and war. Those three things. This will be my segue to the next topic, which ties in what Congressman Jim Jordan. We are able to move more, and I'd put trans surgeries as number 4. Every single one of those has actually moved in a reasonable direction versus where it was a couple years ago. I think one of the reasons is honestly thanks to Elon Musk. We have one platform where we can speak freely. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. Maybe it's Google, maybe not. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it, but I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something. But fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up, better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. There's a fair amount of blackpilling. That's a phrase where you think everything's terrible, everything's awful, nothing can get better. That happens in the conservative movement. But let's think. What have been the main priorities of the regime? The COVID, lockdown, masks, vaccine. They've completely lost that one. Public opinion moved. How about race politics? We started with BLM basically being the state-run religion for an entire summer. And after 60 or 90 days of pushing back on it, the Overton window moved on that. And race politics, not only does it not work, but they tried it again with that subway incident with Jordan Neely. It was dead on arrival. The Wall Street Journal a couple days later says, nope, actually, we're not falling for it. That shows that there is a far better atmosphere to reject this garbage. Ukraine, 7% of Americans were against sending money to Ukraine. Now 55% are. I largely think this is because of the emergence of Rumble, Real America's Voice, AM radio, podcasting, having Elon liberate Twitter. There is now a thriving ecosystem of independent news. And this is a massive threat to the regime. They are not able to continue to propagate lies the way they used to. We get to ask questions. We get to notice patterns. We get to see inconsistencies. CBS, ABC, NBC, PBS, they don't do any of that, obviously, but their market share is going down. Podcasts like Megyn Kelly are moving the Overton window significantly and successfully on the trans issue. Dan Bongino is doing an amazing job continuing keeping the pressure on the intel agency spying on Americans. This new ecosystem of news gives me hope. The conservative movement is, at our Turning Point Action Conference, 95% of our attendees said we're done with this Ukraine thing, and you should be done with it. You're being lied to. If you're in support of the Ukraine thing, then you probably also believe America is a systemically racist country, because it's the same people who have a pattern of lying, covering up the truth, and manipulating you. They are not pushing this for the right reasons. Now, as if he was going to persuade people, they deploy Chris Christie on a PR tour. This is a typical neocon talking point. It is banal. It is shallow. Well, if we don't stop them here, then we're going to have American troops in Taiwan. This is the same talking point they used in Vietnam. The same failed talking point they used in Iraq and Afghanistan. You are not safer because we engage in multi-decade no-win wars. You're actually in more danger. In fact, there is far more danger to you and your grandchildren happening right now on the southern border than anything that Russia is doing. It's not even close. Don't fall for the mainstream narrative. Stop accepting the lies. So Chris Christie, again, if I were to give some advice to Chris Christie, stop talking about big and large, big issues, small issues. I mean, this is a guy that makes Lizzo look skinny, and he's talking about big. He takes up the whole screen. It's not exact. It doesn't work. Play cut 37.
One of the points of my campaign, guys, is that America has never been great by being small. And right now, in elements of my party and in the elements, some elements of the Democratic Party, we are arguing over what I consider to be small issues. They're not unimportant, but they're small. The big issues that we have to deal with, and one of them is American leadership around the world. Those issues are what makes America bigger, stronger, richer, freer.
So he believes firmly that our involvement in Ukraine is the most important thing that's happening. In fact, he's telling you the fact that we've spent $220 billion that it's not enough. Southern border, who cares? Fentanyl overdoses, who cares? Kids can't read, not a problem. $31 trillion in debt, do not care. Instead, this is the neoliberal neocon position. It's a compromised position. It is an infatuation with a cancerous ideology of colonizing the world, invading the world, and inviting the world, you have grown poorer. Your grandkids are in a far more dangerous situation because of this ideology. Play cut 40.
We heard a lot of support. Two-thirds of the audience that I had was very supportive of my position on Ukraine, which is that we haven't done enough.
Okay, so Chris Christie, little advice. When you talk about a crowd of eight people, six of which are on the board of Raytheon, it's not awfully persuading on a television interview. You know, I was in a boardroom with six Raytheon people, and two-thirds of the room really supported. How about this, Chris Christie? 95% of the Republican base at the Turning Point Action Conference think you're wrong. Think that your position is untenable. It's a globalist position. And it's inconsistent with what will keep America strong. Why is Ukraine in our national interest? Can anybody tell me? In fact, you know, one person emailed me and they say, quote, Charlie, there is no limit on how much money we should spend to Ukraine. We should do whatever is necessary. When we do less than that, it gives people ammunition to say that America fights endless wars. That just makes zero sense. But you understand, it's the same way where they say wear masks while you're alone in your bathroom. There is no rational argument to keep on sending money to Ukraine, to a no-win war, to a suicide mission for brave Ukrainians that are getting mowed down by Russians. And we were the government that poked the Russian bear. Remember, it was Lady Graham and all of his friends, John McCain and Klobuchar, Snow Woman, that provoked this entire invasion. Play cut 43.
Your fight is our fight. 2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia. Enough of a Russian aggression. It is time for them to pay a heavier price.
Yeah, pay a heavier price. How would you act if Russia went to Mexico City with their senators and started talking like that? 46% of our country cannot get their hands on $400. Are they resting easy that now the American government is on pace to spend $250 to $300 billion to foreign corrupt oligarchs in a no-win war, a slaughter fest, while Americans are poor? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.